Now, if you look at the cover of the little booklet you have in your hand, you'll notice it says God's Bridge to Eternal Life. I just want to talk about the word bridge for a second. What is a bridge? I looked it up and here's a definition. A bridge is a structure spanning and providing passage over a gap or a barrier, right? Simply put, if I'm here, right, and I want to get over there, but I can't because there's a large obstacle in my way, then what do I need? I need help to get from here to there. I would need some kind of bridge. Now, if I asked you to think of a bridge, what would you think of? Just think right now of a bridge. If you were to pick one bridge, what would come to your mind? So I actually thought about that. This was the first one that came to my mind. It's one of the oldest suspension bridges in the United States. It was completed in 1883. It connects two boroughs in the state of New York by spanning the East River. Total length of approximately 6,000 feet, just a little bit over a mile. And as I think a lot of you know, what's the name of that bridge? That's the Brooklyn Bridge, all right? How many got that right? You going to get that right? Okay. That's all right. If you missed it, you got another chance. All right. Maybe some of you thought there's another bridge that came to your mind. This bridge, I think, is more picturesque. This bridge was completed in 1933. It has a total length of approximately 9,000 feet, so it's 50% longer than the Brooklyn Bridge. This is a bridge that you would find at the opening of the San Francisco Bay, right where it opens up and goes out into the ocean. Maybe more of you would know this. This is called the what? Oh, good for you. The Golden Gate Bridge. How many of you got that one correct? All right, so we're doing well. What is the world's longest suspension bridge currently, not in the United States, but in the world? Completed in 1998, this bridge goes for approximately 13,000 feet. Quite a bit longer than the Brooklyn or the Golden Gate Bridge. In fact, it's supported by two towers, each tower only slightly less than 1,000 feet tall. Anybody want to guess the name? How about a country? Anybody want to guess what country it's in? Were you thinking Japan? Good. Were you thinking the Akashai Kaikyo Bridge? Anybody? Were you thinking that? You answer got it. Good for you. All right. I've never heard of that bridge, but yeah, I was looking up bridges this week. All right. That is the longest suspension bridge currently in the world. But there's one bridge that I have spent more time on than any of the bridges that were just listed here, and it's this bridge. And this bridge is 345 feet long, 12 feet wide. It was named in honor of Mr. Frank Hipp, who's the founder of the Liberty Corporation. Okay. Can anybody tell me where this bridge is located? In Greenville, South Carolina, at Falls Park. How many of you have been on this bridge? Who can tell me the name of this bridge? The Liberty Bridge, because it's named after the founder of the Liberty Corporation. Very good. And I know our family, we've been down there a number of times, and even with some of you from church, just going down for a walk at Falls Park. If you've never walked on this bridge, just a very picturesque, fun thing to do. Now, why would I bring this up in a service like this? Because all of these bridges serve the same purpose. I'm here, and I want to get there, but there's something in my way. It could be an ocean. It could be a ravine. It's something I can't cross. I need help because I can't make it from here to there. That's what this little booklet, God's Bridge to Eternal Life, is all about. So what we're going to do in this very simple message this morning is we're just going to walk through this together so that we can make sure we understand the gospel. Would you open up, please, to page 1, and you'll notice right on the booklet, it says God's purpose to honor and serve Him. God created man to honor Him, to serve Him, and fellowship with Him. That's why we exist. The Bible says in Revelation 4:11, "Worthy are you, our Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power. You created all things because of your will. They existed and were created." That's why you exist. God made you. Thus, Paul says, 1 Corinthians 10:31, "Whether then you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." So we were made to fellowship with God. It's put this way in Psalm 16:11, "You will make known to me the path of life, speaking to God. In your presence is fullness of joy. In your right hand there are pleasures forever." You'll notice there's a picture that helps us to understand that. In the top right-hand corner, you see God's purpose. God had a purpose for all people that we would fellowship with Him. But something went wrong. If God's purpose is for mankind to honor, serve, and fellowship with Him, then what happened that destroyed this perfect relationship? We are not in fellowship with God naturally. Because of why? Well, in one word, and that takes us to page 2 in our booklet, mankind's problem. In one word, our problem is sin. Man chose to sin against God rather than serve Him. The Bible says, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's you, that's me. We are all sinners. We not only have sinned, we continue to sin. There's not a person in this room who hasn't sinned already today. The Bible says that sin in 1 John 3:4 is breaking God's law. We sin in two ways. We sin by doing what God has commanded us not to do, or we sin by not doing what God has told us to do. And you may say, Greg, I don't know if I sinned today. You know, I didn't rob a bank. I didn't cuss at anyone. I didn't lust at the next guy's truck or whatever. Okay, it's true that sometimes sin is doing what God says not to do. But guys, remember, a lot of our sin, I think most of our sin, is not doing what God commands us to do. Whether you eat, drink, or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. All of us that enjoyed coffee this morning, how many of us took that cup of coffee and paused and said, Lord, I praise you for this wonderful cup of coffee, and then drank it to God's glory and said thank you after each sip? And I am not being excessive when I suggest that a failure to do that is a failure to glorify God. And a failure to glorify God is always sin. So when I say we're all sinful people, I'm not suggesting that we would be the kind of people to do something horrific like what happened in Connecticut just a week ago. I am saying that all of us have fallen way short of God's glory. And so you have a picture next to page 2. And notice there's these two rocks, if you will. Here's a man standing on a precipice, and he's on one side. Man's problem is sin. What's on the other side? God's purpose. And so what's gone wrong? Sin has separated us from achieving God's purpose. But sin has done something even more. I'd invite you to page 3 of your booklet. Sin has a penalty. And the penalty of sin is death. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. When man chose to disobey God, the result was death. The basic meaning of death is separation. The Bible teaches there are three types of death, three types of separation. So when the Bible says that because we've sinned, there is death, there's actually three ways that people die. Just to make this clear, number one, there's spiritual death. Spiritual death separates a person from the life of God. There are people today that are alive physically, but they're spiritually dead. They don't know God. They're not believers in Jesus Christ. They're separate from God. Secondly, there's physical death. Unless the Lord comes back first, all of us will experience a separation of our soul from our body. That's physical death. Third type of death is eternal death. And that separates a person, both soul and body, from God forever in hell. And the Bible clearly teaches that hell is just as real as heaven. The picture, I think, makes that very clear. Here is a man on this one side, on the precipice, and he's standing on that rock there. His problem is sin. And because of sin, the penalty is death. And he wants to get across to the other side, but he can't make it. The only thing he could look forward to is one day going off that cliff at the time of death and plunging into eternity without Christ. And that's an eternity of hell. And hell is a very real place. This is the teaching of the Bible, and it's true of all people. We're basically stuck, if I could put it, on this side. And here all of us are in our sin. And we're thinking, if only I can get to God. But you know what? I'm here and God's there. And you can't get there from here. It's like there's this vast ocean between us. or ravine. So what do we do? Well, turn now, please, to page 4 in your booklet. The question is, how can we ever have eternal life? Well, basically, we try all kinds of things, right? Throughout history, individuals have tried many ways to gain or earn eternal life, but every attempt has been unsuccessful. And before I read the verses, in fact, I'll look at the picture, because what we're doing, guys, is we're just trying to build a bridge. And some people think this, right? I know what I'll do. I'm here and I want to get to God, so I'll do good works. I'll be nice to the kids in my neighborhood. You know, I won't commit adultery on my spouse. I won't steal anybody's money. And maybe that will work, but that won't work. Other people think, you know, I'll get involved in religion and I'll go to church on Sundays and I'll be a deacon or whatever. Other people say, no, it's money. And I'll give money to the Salvation Army. You know, every time I go by the bucket, I'll put a buck in, right? Maybe that'll do it. Finally, morality. I'll just be a nice person. And we try to build a bridge to get from here to there. But the Bible is very clear on that, that does not work. Proverbs 14:12. On page 4, there is a way which seems right to a man. Our whole world does this. Guys, this is religion. The world is filled with people right now today going to church, and they're all doing the same thing. They're trying to build a bridge. There is a way which seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Paul writes to Titus in 3:5, he saved us, speaking of Christians, not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy. You can do all of the deeds you want, and it can't get you from here to there. And Paul put it here in this well-known text, Ephesians 2:8 and 9, for by grace you've been saved through faith, not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. The Bible is very clear. We are here, eternity, eternal life is there, and I can do anything I want to try to build a bridge, but the bottom line is I can't get there from here. And we can try as hard as we want, and we simply will never be successful. Turn now to page 5. You say, Greg, then does that leave us in despair? And the answer would be yes, if not for Jesus Christ. Again, I'm going to look at the picture first. Man's problem is sin. Because of sin, he must die. And he is destined to go to hell because he can't make a bridge. But someone else has provided a bridge for us. And you notice in your little booklet that that bridge is in the shape of a cross, standing for the cross on which Jesus, who is God, suffered and died. Notice it's labeled Christ's payment. Let's look now at page 5. Jesus Christ, God's sinless Son, was sent by the Father to pay the penalty for our sins by dying on the cross in our place. I am the one that's supposed to go off the cliff into hell forever. I deserve that, just like you deserve that. But Jesus Christ went to a cross. Romans 5:8. God demonstrates his own love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't die for himself. He should have never died because he never sinned. And if you never sin, you never die. Jesus Christ died not for his sin. He never sinned. He died for my sin. He died for the sin of all that put faith in Jesus Christ. 1 Peter puts it this way, 3:18. For Christ also died for sins once for all. The just, that's him. For the unjust, that's me. So that he might bring us to God. There is nothing we can do to get across from here to there. There is nothing we can do. But Jesus Christ did something we cannot do. He presented himself as a substitute for our sin. And thus he then becomes the bridge. It is through Christ that I can get from here to there. Something I could never do, nor could you do. But because of the cross of Jesus, now there's a bridge. You say, okay, but what do we do? I mean, think about it, guys. There's a lot of people who believe in Jesus just like they believe in George Washington. I was raised going to church. I believed in the virgin birth. I believed in the deity of Jesus Christ. I believed in the Trinity ever since I was young enough to remember. That's what I was taught. And I was not a Christian. Now, I was a Christian in the broad sense that I wasn't a Hindu. I wasn't an atheist. I wasn't agnostic. I wasn't Jewish. I was a Christian in that sense, but I had never personally experienced eternal life. I did not explain what I'm now going to explain. In fact, the booklet explains on page 6. You say, what do we have to do? We have to turn and we have to trust on page 6. Our pardon is turn and trust. How do we cross the bridge to eternal life? We must receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. See, I had never known that. I was baptized as a kid. I thought maybe that washed away my sin. I went to communion when I was a kid. I thought maybe that somehow helped me. But that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible says we must receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Jesus himself put it this way. I read John 14:6. Jesus speaking, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. There's only one way. There's only one bridge. His name is Jesus. Thus, it goes on to say, in order to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you must repent of your sins and put your trust in Jesus Christ alone as the only hope of eternal life. The Bible says, therefore, repent and return so that your sins may be wiped away. Now, repent's kind of a big theological word. And some of you might say, Greg, what does repent mean? Repent just means to turn. My whole life, I've been walking my own way. I'm selfish. And I want what I want. I want to be a happy person. So if it takes money, I want money. If it takes a nice truck, I want a nice truck. If it takes a motorcycle, I want a motorcycle. If it takes a wife, I want a wife. Whatever I want to be happy. And then you say, no, I am going to turn from living my life my way, and I am going to turn to Jesus Christ. That's the word repentance. That's why it says up on the top of this, our pardon. It begins with turn. Turning is repenting. And then you trust. What does trust mean? I read Acts 16:31. Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. Believe is not like, okay, George Washington's alive, or was alive at one time, I believe it. And Jesus Christ was alive at one time, even the Son of God, I believe it. That's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about believing it as a historical reality. We're talking about you personally putting your faith in it. We're talking about, yes, I put my faith in Jesus Christ. I am turning from my selfish sin and I am putting my faith in Jesus. And watch this. And he is my Lord. You say, but Greg, I don't want this lordship stuff. I just want a Savior. You can't take Jesus halfway. You can't say, keep me out of hell, but like living for you, not interested. Jesus offers to no one himself as Savior without offering himself as Lord. Notice what the text says, guys. It's very clear. Acts 16:31. Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. Drop to the bottom. Romans 10:13. Whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. And I think we are aware of this, but maybe I'm stating the obvious. The world is filled with people who would call themselves Christians and Jesus is not their Lord. And they maybe have even prayed, Lord, save me. I don't want to go to hell. But Jesus is not their Lord. You can't take part of Jesus. You take all of Jesus or you take none of Jesus. So we are pardoned when we turn. and we trust in what Jesus did on the cross. And you know what we experience according to John 5:24? This is page 7. Eternal life. Jesus Christ said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but is passed out of death into life." What a tremendous verse. They've broken it down into the three parts. When you repent, turn, put your faith in Jesus, you know what God promises you? Number one, you have eternal life. Number two, you'll never come into judgment because Jesus has already died for your sins. And thus, number three, you have passed out of death into life. And you are now no longer over here. Because, see, here's the bridge, the cross. And the moment you turn from your sin and said, "Yes, Jesus, I want you to be my Lord and my Savior. Forgive me of my sin." Then you are placed over here. And you'll never be condemned because Jesus has paid the price of your sin. That's the gospel. Notice what it says again on the right. God's promise, eternal life. If your faith is in Christ, you have it. No condemnation. If your faith is in Christ, you have it. Pass from death to life. If your faith is in Christ, you have it. I'll never forget talking to the, I'll use this word, the religious leader of the church that my grandmother attended almost all of her life. But before my grandma passed away, I went through this with her, not this exact pamphlet, but the teaching of this book. And my grandma prayed and she put her faith in Jesus Christ. And I went up to the gentleman who was the religious leader of that church. And I said to him, "Do you think my grandma's in heaven?" And he gave me some kind of answer, whatever. And I said, "No, seriously, do you think a person could put faith in Jesus, be forgiven, be saved, and know they're in heaven?" And he said something like, "Well, Greg, no one can really know that." And I said, "Well, you know, I disagree with you because the Bible says you can know." And I went through the gospel with him. He got mad, raised his voice, and walked away. Okay, I wasn't trying to be a smart aleck, really. I was rejoicing that my grandma put her faith in Christ, even as I did when I was 18 years old. Have you ever done this? Is your faith in Jesus Christ? You say, "Greg, what if I were talking with somebody like at lunch or whatever, and they say, you know, this makes sense." You could just ask them, even as in the booklet, "Will you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today?" To do so, number one, you would admit that you have sinned against God and ask him for forgiveness. "Lord, I'm a sinner. I have sinned against you. I deserve to go to hell. I freely admit that. Lord, please, would you forgive me?" And then number two, "Lord, I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God who died for me on the cross, rose from the dead. I believe he is Lord. I believe that." And then number three, you would call upon Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior. And if you have done this and your faith is in Jesus Christ, then you are on your way. Because Jesus Christ is your bridge. Jesus Christ is your only bridge. You might say, "Wow, I didn't expect to hear this on Christmas." It's the whole reason Jesus came. Jesus Christ came to be our bridge, the bridge to eternal life. That's the gospel. That's Christmas. Luke 2:11. "For today in the city of David, there's been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord." Jesus Christ came to be our bridge. But before we end, let me make sure we're clear. Jesus Christ is not a bridge. Jesus Christ is the only bridge. Guys, it's not like there's a bridge and then another mile up the road, there's another bridge. And if you miss one, you're fine. You'll hit the next one. That is not what the Scriptures teach. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. There is only one way. There is only one bridge to eternal life. There is only one Jesus Christ who came into this world we celebrated at Christmas and who lived a perfectly sinless life and died on a cross so that all who believe would not perish but would have everlasting life. I close with this morning. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, I hope all of you are, and you've listened to this simple gospel presentation this morning and you say, that's me, then I would like to encourage you. Would you share that booklet that you have in your hand? Would you share it with someone this Christmas? Maybe the guy dropping off the mail, the young lady taking your money at the gas station or at the grocery store. Maybe the person who gives you help in the plumbing aisle or the, you know, whatever. Maybe just somebody who drops off the packages and he's all dressed in brown. However you encounter people, in whatever way you're comfortable with, do you realize that if that person doesn't know about this bridge, that it's impossible for him or her to get to eternal life? There's only one bridge. If you know that well, would you be willing to share that with someone? Some of you might be thinking, man, I want to share it with more than one person. We will have a stack of these on the usher's desk after the service so that you can take as many as you want. We have them printed with our church name and website on it. So if somebody wanted more information, they could go to the website. But secondly, as we close, if you're here this morning and you are just still not sure whether or not you're a Christian, and you understood this well, do you realize right now, without coming forward, without raising a hand, without telling anybody, you could pray right now to the Lord silently. You could pray just like we learned this morning. And you could put your faith in Jesus Christ, and He would put you on that bridge, and you would be on your way to eternal life. You could do that. If I can help you, I would be glad to speak with you. After the service, I'm going to be at the door with my wife speaking. And if any of you would just quietly say, Greg, can I talk with you? Then without anybody else even knowing about it, we can just slip in one of these Sunday school rooms. If one of you ladies would rather speak to my wife, she'd be glad. And we'd like to have the opportunity to answer any questions you might have about this booklet. You might say, Greg, I'm not really sure I'm a Christian, but I really don't want to pray yet. I don't want to talk to anybody. I understand. Would you be willing to take this and just keep it? Stick it in your purse, in your pocket, and maybe quietly even later today, would you just take this booklet and just say a simple prayer, Lord, show me what's true. Show me if Jesus Christ really is the bridge. And I believe if you would pray that prayer and mean it and open it up, God would answer that prayer and He would show you. Let's pray. Father, we thank You that Jesus Christ was born into this world to be the bridge to eternal life. Lord, our world is filled with many different ideas on how to get eternal life, and yet Your Bible, Your Word, Lord, is very clear. There is nothing we can do to get eternal life. Jesus Christ did it all. There's nothing we need to do except to repent of our sin and put our faith in Jesus. Lord, for everyone in this room that's a believer, that's already a follower of Jesus Christ, I pray that this simple presentation will just solidify in their minds what it truly means to be a Christian. And I pray that You would give us the opportunity to pass our booklets on to someone else who needs to hear this Christmas message. Lord, if there's anyone here that's maybe uncertain, we pray that You would do a work of grace in the heart that You alone can do, and that by Your grace, they would join us in trusting in Christ and Christ alone. We pray this for Your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.